Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of The Season of Sports with me, Yasmin Begovic, and my amazing producer, Rachel Humphreys. How are you, Rachel?
Hey, Yasmin, I'm good. How is it in Bournemouth?
Everything's going well. Preseason's finally at an end and the season started, so we're excited for the season ahead and everything that it brings. So all is well here.
Great. I'm in London. You're in Bournemouth. We're a bit disjointed, but we're going to make this work, right?
Absolutely. We're a good team, so we can make it work. Absolutely. If anyone could, it's us. So we're in good stead.
I love the positivity. We've got some great guests and topics coming up, though, right?
I'm really pumped about this week's show. We're going to be talking boxing. Lots of things going on in boxing. We've got Declan Taylor joining us from the Hayter Sports Agency. We've got college football. College football season's around the corner. So we've got Ivan Maisel joining us from ESPN. And we're also going to talk some fantasy football. We're going to drop this in every month or so, at least once a month, to get our fantasy football guys some updates and who's hot, who's not, and make sure everyone's up to date. And we've got the guys from Fantasy Footy Mag joining us. So we've got a jam-packed show. Really excited about it today. And, let's see what it brings.
This episode of The Season of Sports is brought to you by Great Save. For all you goalkeeping fanatics, make sure you head to greatsave.com and use code AB1 for 15% off the new Sales Campione glove.
Before we get into our guests, I wanted to give some of my thoughts as usual. First and foremost, I think the Premier League's back. Everyone's super excited. It's the longest 3 months of the year over with no Premier League football, so we're all ready to go. I don't know if you've been following in much of the off-season. We've talked about transfers, but are you excited about the season, Rachel?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's been a lot happening in the off-season because we discussed in the last episode, which people can go and listen to at iTunes. It's all open in the season this year.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got so much going on in the Premier League, as always. We have a new fan of Bournemouth and yourself, so we're excited about that, which is good. You'll be following our results.
I'm going to come down to Bournemouth and see you. Absolutely.
Hey, absolutely. You know, you're always welcome. So, but before we get into our guests, I want to touch on the women's European Championships in football that was obviously recently held in Holland. And I just wanted to say what an amazing tournament it was, because I started watching quite a bit of it. Unfortunately for England, they went out in the semifinals to Holland. And Holland ended up winning the tournament against Denmark in the final. But that final was one heck of a game. I mean, Holland beat Denmark 4-2. The quality on show is very impressive. And it's a credit to all the ladies out there in the women's game and as to how much it's improving and heading into the right direction. So it was a great tournament to watch. Really had a lot of fun watching it. Great coverage by Channel 4 as well. So they put a lot of effort into it. And just wanted to say a great job all around. You know, sometimes a ladies' game doesn't get as much credit as they deserve. So it was really good to see such a tournament take full force and play such a big part in the summer.
Yeah, definitely. And as we've spoken about earlier, women's sport is coming into its own in a different way this summer with the cricket and the rugby is underway in Dublin. So it'll be exciting to see how England do in that respect. And I think, you know, coming up, be great to talk a little bit about women's sport.
Yeah, absolutely. We hope to do some features in women's sport, and they deserve the attention. So we're looking to do that. But like I said, the Euros were an amazing hit, and can't wait for the next major tournament. We're gonna get into the show now. Well, let's get the guests on. To all our listeners, make sure you get in touch with us each and every show. We're on Twitter at Season of Sports, on our Facebook page Season of Sports, and we're actually brand new to Instagram also. If anyone wants to follow us, is there exactly? So we're trending with the times. We're going with the right direction. Follow our Instagram at season_of_sports.
Hashtag no filter. This is all just straight up, straight on Instagram.
Absolutely. So without further ado, we're going to get into the boxing and talk to Declan Taylor. With two big fights on the horizon and a big retirement recently in boxing, I'm delighted to welcome Declan Taylor to our show. Hi, Declan. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, Asmir. Thanks for having me.
Before we get into the two big fights of Mayweather versus McGregor and Canelo versus Triple G, I wanted to get your thoughts on the retirement of Vladimir Klitschko. I think he's had an amazing career. He's obviously carried the heavyweight division for many years. So he's definitely finished at the right time, I think, for him. What are your thoughts on Vladimir Klitschko?
Yeah, I'd agree with you there. He's obviously had an incredible career, really, when you think about what he's done and the losses he took and how he came back from it. It's not often you see boxers doing that. A lot of the time, if they get beaten, especially if they get stopped like he did a couple of times, that's the end of them. What he put together before the defeat to Tyson Fury, when he went on an unbeaten run for 11 years, as you say, completely sort of carried that heavyweight division. In a lot of people's minds, he did it badly. You know, he did it boringly. But I think to say that is doing him a disservice to exactly how he changed heavyweight boxing. And then the fight that he went out on, of course, he lost. But I mean, what a way to go out! And it changed a lot of people's minds on him. And people saying he was robotic, boring to watch, people like things like that. I mean, if you think about what he actually did against Joshua, who he floored, of course, and a lot of people had him in control at the time of the stoppage. It was just a great night, a great fight. It's a shame, and I'm sure you'll agree, it's a shame we won't see the rematch. But, I mean, you can't really say a bad word about him and about his decision to retire. You know, I can understand why he has, really, at this time.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the only negative side of it is the fact that we won't get to see a rematch with him and Anthony Joshua, because I think that would have been epic. But that first fight, sometimes it's good. Sometimes things don't need a sequel, because that first fight was so amazing. And even sometimes it's good movies. They should have stopped at the first one instead of going to the second one. So I'm glad maybe that that fight will be remembered by everyone for many, many years to come. And yeah, fair play to him and good luck to him in the future. Now, let's get on to the two big fights of the next month, because I'm really excited about these fights for different reasons. I think this one is more for a show, the Mayweather-McGregor fight on the 26th of August, the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. I don't know what to think of this fight. I think it's just a show. I think they're just trying to make some money. It's one of those kind of fights where I don't think it's for the boxing purists, but everyone wants to see a spectacle. What are your thoughts on this fight?
Yeah, it's an interesting one. And like you say, it's a spectacle, isn't it? It's a show. I was speaking to Carl Froch today in Nottingham, and he's going to be over there commentating to Sky. So he can't be too sort of biased one way or the other. But even he said that it's a pantomime. And that's kind of what it is, in a way. It's kind of WWE with the pair of them going at it. To be honest, I found that press tour at times slightly unedifying. You know, just the swearing and the trash talk and stuff. It's kind of unnecessary in a way, but it is, like you say, all part of the show, and they're both characters. They're almost like cartoon characters, and they'll be paid as such, to be honest. It's part of the show. When it comes to boxing, I think on paper it's probably the biggest mismatch of all time, when you've got Mayweather undefeated in 49 fights, you know, beating everyone. I think world champion in 5 different weight classes. Elite amateur, and then you've got Conor McGregor, never had a professional fight in his life, had a pretty small and modest amateur career. I don't think he ever won a national title even in Ireland, so for those to be fighting in a professional boxing match is absurd, really. But I mean, people are ready to pay, people are going to be tuning in, like I will, like you will. You know, it's something that everyone wants to see, and I'm just worried a bit about the build-up being so huge and the fight being so colossal that actually the show won't live up to the hype. A bit like Pacquiao Mayweather didn't. And in the long term, that can be damaging to the sport.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's a good example, actually, the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, because that was probably 5 or 6 years too late for it to happen. And now everyone's ready for payday. And they want to continue making money. And I think that's what it feels like, the show. You know, I don't like the fact that Conor McGregor sort of talked his way into a fight without earning this opportunity to fight arguably the best ever that's done the sport in Mayweather. Like who you said is 49-0. So from that point of view, I'm a little bit against this whole idea, but I'm not going to miss out on the show. And I can't wait for the fight, just for the show part of it. But you never know. One punch... McGregor, he can land. If he can land one, you never know what he can do. So,
I completely agree with it. I agree that it's kind of strange that he's talked himself into this fight, and that he can be, and that Mayweather can go to 50-0 and beat that Rocky Marciano's record, you know, and go 50-0 with a fight like this. It's kind of something maybe on his record, it should have an asterisk by it, you know, that this. this was a strange fight. It wasn't a run of the mill world title defense like all his other last 25 fights or whatever. But at the same time, it's difficult to knock Conor McGregor because what he's done in the UFC is unbelievable, and really just his draw alone is what's got this fight. In that Mayweather promotions obviously at first thought this is absurd, we can't have this fight, and then they started hearing it. You know, it wouldn't go away. It wouldn't go away. They started looking at the numbers, and then you know who are we to knock Conor McGregor for doing it? And he's still going to go in there and fight. I just don't think he's gonna. I don't think he's got a sliver of a chance, really, to be honest.
Neither do I, but stranger things have happened. So we'll see. Well, talking boxing here with Declan Taylor, boxing correspondent for Haters Sports Agency. Follow him on Twitter at DeclanTaylor87. Declan, now this is the one I really want to talk to you about. As a boxing fan and as a boxing purist, is the Canelo Alvarez fight against Triple G on the 16th of September at the T-Mobile Arena in Vegas for the middleweight championship. Now this is a fight between two fighters probably who arguably are two of the best in the world. This should be an absolute spectacle. How do you see this one going?
Oh, that's a hard question. Straight away, put me on the spot. I must admit that I've been a big Golovkin man in terms of Canelo Golovkin. You know, ever since the talk of it happening, I've always thought Golovkin's going to be too much of a punch too hard, and maybe force a stoppage late on. But the closer the fight's getting, and over the last 18 months or so, the results that they both had and their performances, I'm starting to lean or slightly. Seeing it slightly differently. It's always kind of the number one rule is you should never change your gut feeling with a fight. You should, whatever you think at the start, that's what you should go with. And so I'm hesitant to say that I fancy Canelo now. I still think Golovkin will win, but I think it's one of those fights for the ages. One that we don't see often enough. We had Kovalev and Ward fighting each other twice in a row, so that was kind of the similar sort of situation where we get one and two in a division. The interesting thing with this one is that Golovkin's obviously a long-term middleweight, been fighting there, knocking everyone out, well, almost everyone apart from Danny Jacobs. And then you've had Canelo, who's kind of a former middleweight champion but actually never boxed at the 160 limit. He's been kind of fighting at catch weights, he's been dropping back down to 54 to beat Liam Smith and stuff like that. So it's hard to really see how he's going to do against a fully fledged middleweight. But having said that, they were both over in London for the press conference a couple of months ago. I can't remember what date it was, but seeing them side to side, Canelo looks like the bigger man at this point in camp. Golovkin never has any problem making middleweight. He's probably only a couple of pounds over now. Canelo will be boiling down much more. He's a bigger, broader man. You could say he's got the better boxing skills and always showcase that, and obviously Golovkin is the big puncher, but not to take any away from his sort of skill set as a boxer as well. So it's a classic one for the ages. I mean, the hope is that it could become, you know, one or two or trilogy maybe if these two really, really do gel like we hope they do.
Well, that's the interesting part, because as you said, this is such an amazing fight because it's two fighters at the top of their game going at it, and it's not many people take those kind of fights, and that's why I'm really excited about it. And like you said, Gennady Golovkin has got his 37-0 record to defend. Canelo is going to come in absolutely aggressive and obviously wanting to win the fight. And as you said about going on to other fights, there is a lot of talk about if Gennady Golovkin wins this fight that he could finish his career and finish it on such a high note. Do you see that happening if he wins?
Yeah, well, he told us in London, he said this could be my last fight. And you can understand why it could be. I mean, if he gets chinned by Canelo and, you know, goes 37-1, especially to get stopped, he might never come back from it. And if he wins, like you say, he's not over young. I think he's 35, 36, something like that at the time of the fight. So it's not like he's got his best years ahead of him. And he might decide that beating Canelo, that might be the way to go out. What I would say, though, is if he beats him on points in a close decision, the clamour for a rematch would be so great that I think I wouldn't see him turning down the money, like Klitschko has turned down the money for the Joshua rematch. I wouldn't see Golovkin doing the same. If he was to clean out Canelo early on, or, you know, just overpower him completely, there might not be that clamour for a rematch. But, you know, if he does, as we expect it to be, be tight fight and close fights where both men have their moments, then I can only see there being a rematch. But I mean, who's to say? Golovkin's had a long career. He's probably getting tired of it all now. It's got to be said. But it's whether he gets tired of all those dollar signs.
Well, absolutely. Well, listen, I for one am excited for the next month or so in boxing and seeing these fights. And Declan, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate you giving us your boxing insight. And we hope to have you on again very soon. So I'm super excited about the new college football season coming up, as I am every year. And now to talk about it here, the co-host of the Campus Conversation and ESPN College analyst, Ivan Maisel. How are you, Ivan?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
No, it's a pleasure to have you on our show. Really excited about the season ahead. And the first thing I wanted to get into with this year, and I think it's so interesting for me, is the stock of great quarterbacks in college football at the moment. You know what I mean? I think topping the list would be someone like Sam Darnold from USC, Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma, Lamar Jackson from Louisville. And we have Josh Rosen at UCLA. How excited are you about the QB crop this year and the potential draft next year?
Well, what's great about it is, you know, you named about half of the recognizable names. It's unusual that, first of all, you have a returning Heisman Trophy winner in Lamar Jackson, but he was too young to go to the NFL by their rules. And it's also unusual that you have a returning Heisman winner and nobody's talking about him. Everybody is swooning over Sam Darnold after the way that USC finished the season and the excitement of the Rose Bowl victory over Penn State. And yet, two of the bigger stars, and this is highly unusual in college football these days, are fifth-year senior quarterbacks. JT Barrett at Ohio State's a veteran, and of course, Baker Mayfield, as you mentioned, from Oklahoma. You never have guys stick around that long, but they have all stayed, and we're all going to benefit from that this fall.
It's just amazing. I mean, like I said, I've just not remembered such a huge crop of quarterbacks in the game at one time, and to make the season so intriguing. And I hope all these guys have great seasons and make college football a huge spectacle for everyone. Now, moving on to the defending champions, the Clemson Tigers. What are your thoughts on Clemson and Dabo Sweeney's team going into this new season?
Clemson is going to be fascinating to watch this year because, on the one hand, they lost half of their starting lineup to graduation and coming out early for the NFL. On the other hand, they have the most the highest number of experienced players, what we call lettermen. They won their varsity letter. They earned their varsity letter last year. They have the most returning lettermen in the ACC in their league. So they don't have a lot of very good players, but they have a lot of experienced players. Now, having said that, Asmir, you know, the guy they don't have is Deshaun Watson, and he was such a special player and, you know, willed them to victory against Alabama. And without him, they're just not going to be the same team. No team can survive losing a Deshaun Watson.
I'm excited to see Deshaun Watson in the NFL this year. I think he's going to get a shot with the Texans at some point this year, and I think he can make a big, big impact in the NFL. So
hopefully I would agree. Bill O'Brien is a fantastic quarterback coach and has been for a long time, and I can't wait to see what he and Deshaun cook up together.
Yeah, I mean, he was a first round pick for the Texans, I believe, and to call him a steal in the first round is sometimes is surprising to say, but I think because he wasn't picked in the top five, even top 10 picks, I think he could be one of the biggest surprises out of that draft from what people were thinking going in. So he has certainly a big future. Talking college football with me is Ivan Maisel, ESPN college writer and co-host of the Campus Conversation. Now, Ivan, I want to put you on the spot. Is what we do here in the season of sports. We get people's predictions, and I want to get your top four teams in the country and who's going to be playing in the college football playoff at the end of the season. Now, my picks are, I have the Florida State Seminoles at four. I have Alabama at three. I have USC because of Sam Darnold at number two. And my national champions, I think that number one team going into the playoffs and hopefully the national champions in the end will be the Ohio State Buckeyes led by Urban Meyer. What are your what are your thoughts are on the teams going into the season? I know it's difficult to pick, but I'm going to put you on the spot as we do.
I agree with you on three of the four teams. I'm not convinced of USC, of their ability to make it all the way to the playoff. And the fact, and if you ask me who my fourth team is, I'm going to have to waver. I love Ohio State at one. I think not only are they very experienced coming back, but they're also going to be very angry because for 8 months, Urban Meyer has just boxed their ears with the fact that they lost 31-0 to Clemson. So they are going to be very motivated. And Alabama is Alabama. A lot of players coming back. Florida State, I agree with you. I think the fact that Alabama and Florida State play on opening weekend is not going to hurt either one's chances and may help, quite frankly, may help their chances. The fourth team, I'm going to take a flyer, having just gotten through saying that Clemson is going to struggle without Deshaun Watson. You know, if you look at their schedule, I think, and the amount of experience they have, I think they can get back to the playoffs. So I'm going to have them as my surprise fourth team.
Yeah, I mean, I have Clemson as one of my dark horses, too. I think because of their experience in the system and with Dabo Sweeney at the helm, such an experienced coach, I think they've got a chance to break in there. I also really like Oklahoma. Like, I think Baker Mayfield can be huge, and he can have a big season. And I think it could be interesting. Going back on Ohio State, obviously, that game at Michigan, I think it's the last regular season game at Michigan, is going to be the big one. And I hope USC, I think for Sam Darnold's case, I hope the O-line stays healthy because they can protect him. And I think if they protect him, they can really make a lot of noise over there on the West Coast and make a really long run. But we'll see. That's what I'm saying. It's a preseason. A lot of things can happen. And we'll see how it goes from there. And who's your Heisman Trophy winner? What's your prediction on that one?
My Heisman Trophy winner, I think, is going to be one of the quarterbacks you mentioned, and I think it's going to be Sam Darnold. I think people have already fallen in love with him, and I think he's that talented that they're going to have a big year. He's going to have a big year.
I watched the program recently on Sam Darnold, and I think you guys at ESPN did a really nice piece on him. He seems like an even better person than he does a football player, and I think that's impressive for me. Such a wise head on young shoulders, and I think he's got a big future. If he can keep that sort of mentality, you know, he's going to be a stud and have a great future in the game. And I wish him all the best. And let's see how the season plays out. Ivan, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk college football with you. I'm so pumped about the season ahead. I'm sure we'll be in touch with you during the season to get some more insight. And thank you very much. Enjoy the season and speak to you very soon.
Asmir, thank you, and good luck to Bournemouth.
Now to talk some fantasy football with me. James Copeland is joining me from the Fantasy Football Mag. Hopefully going to hear from you regularly during the season. Make sure our listeners get their fantasy football updates, who's hot, who's not, and make sure they're up to date with everything. How is this season looking for you? Are you looking for a bounce back year, or are you looking for another championship winning year in your league?
Oh, I'd love to tell you I'm looking for another championship winning year, but it's very much a bounce back year for me. I'm confident with my team. It's looking good. And obviously editing the magazine has helped a lot with that. But, you know, fantasy football has not really been my friend up until now. But then again, this is the first season that I'm in charge of the magazine. So I'm hoping that the magazine's going to help me a lot there.
Yeah, well, hopefully it brings you some luck. Now, I'm sure a lot of people will be wondering, who is this year's Josh King or Gylfi Sigurdsson? The kind of under-the-radar players that you maybe think can have a big impact on the fantasy points, you know, who are not your 10 million pound players like the usual suspects, but who do you see maybe coming in a little bit under the radar this year who can bring a lot of points to someone?
Yeah, good question. I mean, this is obviously the kind of the golden ticket of fantasy football, I suppose, is finding the next Josh King. It all really depends on, I think Sigurdsson's move will have a big impact on what happens with the Swansea team. I think there's a lot of bargains to be had in Swansea. People look at Swansea as a team that obviously underperformed last season. But since their new manager came in, they've really transformed. And I think that if they can continue that form that they kind of established at the end of last season, they could be a real threat. So I'm currently looking at Tom Carroll. He's a 4.5 million, I think. And he looks like a real prospect. I think if Sigurdsson does go to Everton, then Tom Carroll is on set pieces. He could be the difference in that Swansea team. So at 4.5, it's a bargain, potentially.
Well, that would be huge value for money. I think someone as well who's in that price range is who I'm going to keep my eye on. I know from my experience at Chelsea is Ruben Loftus-Cheek at Crystal Palace.
Absolutely.
Because I think if he gets a chance to play regularly, he could add up a lot of points as well. That remains to be seen, of course, how much playing time he gets, but you expect him to be featuring quite highly and regularly for that Crystal Palace team. So I think someone like that could
absolutely be really good. Absolutely. I have to say, Admit, I'm worried about Loftus-Cheek, however, because for the simple fact that so many people own him, I think a lot of people have identified him as a potential bargain, which he definitely could be. But equally, you know how the stocks and shares work with fantasy football. And if a lot of people own him and then get rid of him, you suddenly have a 4 million midfielder on your hands and kind of know where to put him. So I'm staying clear of Loftus-Cheek for now, but that's not to say that I won't jump on the bandwagon if he scores in game week one.
Well, I'm jumping on a Tom Carroll bandwagon, so you've just called it there. So
you are
Tom Carroll.
We'll do it together. We'll fail together, I'm sure.
But speaking of stocks and shares, I think that the biggest player picked and the most popular player seems to be Romelu Lukaku, who I believe is in about 50% of people's teams, and that's a question. Like, do you pick him and be like everyone else, or do you try and go a different route? I mean, what are your thoughts on
It's tough. You know, the old me, the pre-magazine me, would have definitely have gone for the differential, maybe focused more on Man City, who I think are going to be really good this season. But the new me, the more kind of logical thinking with my brain, not my heart me, says that you have to get Lukaku in, really. His ownership is such that if he does really well, you're going to be left behind. I think he's almost at 50% now. So he seems like an essential. And of course, if he does terribly, you're going to have a lot of people getting rid of him and his value will drop and he could be suddenly hard to replace. So it's a tough one, but I think, you know, we all know what Lukaku can do, and if he delivers, then you want to be enjoying those points like everyone else.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I've got him in my team as well. I couldn't stay away from him, and I've got a couple of questions for you from our listeners, James, before I let you go.
And sure.
One in particular is from at Harris Mirconia N1, and he's asking, could I expect Sead Kolasinac to start regularly for Arsenal?
Yeah, it's a good question. I tell you what, Admir, this is exclusive information here. I have him in my team. He's in my team for game week one. I have high hopes for him. I think after his performance in the Community Shield, you know, he obviously came on, he scored. He was in the team of the season in the Bundesliga last year. I think Wenger would be a fool to exclude him. I think he's got the attacking potential that, you know, fantasy football managers want from their defenders. Equally, I think he'll help Arsenal to some clean sheets. So he's in my team. If he doesn't start, then you know who to blame. Come and tweet me, and I'll take the flak.
I've got a question as well, Asmir, if you'll let me ask it.
Definitely. Chuck.
Ray Bacue's got in touch, James, and Ray Bacue wants to know, what do you think about having Carroll as a starting fourth mid, rotating between 3-4-3 and 4-3-3?
Yeah, it's a good question, Rachel. I think I've already mentioned Tom Carroll. I think he could be a really good fourth mid. The idea of playing a 4-3-3 in fantasy football is something that I think, you know, people a few seasons ago would have squirmed at. You know, four defenders feels like a waste when you could have an extra midfielder. It's still, I'm not quite sold on the idea, but of course defenders are a different beast these days. You know, Conte has introduced this more attacking system and the wing backs are suddenly goal scorers and assisters. And I think a 4-3-3 is brave until we've seen evidence this season of how these wing backs are going to perform. However, I urge him to go for it.
Yeah, I mean, he seems absolute big, huge value for money. So I think Tom Carroll is going to be a very popular pick in the coming weeks, especially if Sigurdsson was to leave Swansea and join Everton. I think he's going to open up a lot of playing time for Tom Carroll and a lot of set play duties, like you said. So he could be a very popular pick. Well, listen, James, thank you so much for coming on our show, answering our questions, giving us our fantasy football updates. And for all of you listeners out there, make sure you join our fantasy, our Season of Sports Fantasy Football League. And the code is 111-821-29474. Head to PremierLeague.com and join our league. James, thank you so much for coming on. Really appreciate it. Love reading your magazine. And like I said, guys, make sure you get onto James and the Fantasy Football Mag on Twitter and follow them there for the updates.
It is time for the social media huddle, which, of course, is the part of the podcast where I get to put your questions that you have tweeted to us or sent us via Facebook to Asmir. And Asmir, we've got a couple of questions that have come in this week via Twitter. Are you ready?
I'm ready as always.
Okay, so the first question comes from Matt Jones. And he wants to know, what are your thoughts on Oregon Ducks' chances this season, Asmir?
Oh, wow, the Oregon Ducks. I mean, what a huge college program they are. It's a great question, Matt. Thanks so much for coming in with that question. So the Oregon Ducks are coming off a really disappointing season. They had a 4-8 record last year, which obviously led to their coach, Mark Helfrich, being fired. They hired Willy Taggart from South Florida, who actually made one of the biggest appointments, one of the best appointments in college football, in my opinion, Jim Leavitt. He came with a huge reputation from Colorado and turning that program's defense into one of the best in the country. And I think they've got potential for a good season. They're going to have a bounce back year. Their offense is high octane, high powered. Justin Herbert came in last year as a freshman, threw for 19 TDs and 4 picks in 9 games. So that's impressive. He's got a great running back in Royce Freeman. He rushed for about 950 yards last year in his junior season. So they've got a high octane offense, and I think it's all about their defense. If they can hold together. They were 126th in the country in defense last year, so I think they'll be better. And I think Oregon will be a top 25 team, nothing else. I don't think they'll get in the playoffs. They've got 3 tough road games. I think it's Stanford, UCLA, and Washington. So I don't think they're going to have an undefeated record or anything like that, but I think they'll be a top 25 team this year, and I think that's the sort of round and the team that they belong in.
Okay, Matt, that is a long Asmir answer, which always indicates a good question. Thank you for tweeting us with that. And the next one, Asmir, I think JS on Twitter has sent us probably the most imaginative question anyone's ever asked on Season of Sports. And I'm going to encourage people to send more like this because I like it. JS wants to know, if someone had chained a gorilla up in 1988 by its arms so it couldn't protect its face, would Tyson be able to knock the gorilla out, Asmir?
That is a funny question. That's one of your street, Rachel, that's for sure.
I didn't send that in. That's coming from JS on Twitter, I guarantee.
I don't know. I guess he could. I guess if anyone could, it's Mike Tyson. He could beat up a gorilla, but that gorilla better be sedated and handcuffed. Otherwise, he would be eaten alive. So for his sake, I hope it's all under control.
That is great. Thanks, JS, for your question. If anyone else wants to ask Asmir questions about, you know, gorilla-related things, you can tweet us at Season of Sports. You can find us on Facebook and now, as Asmir's already mentioned, on Instagram. So please follow us and get in touch and keep up to date on what we're doing on the podcast to get your questions into the huddle.
It's been an absolutely amazing episode. Love talking boxing. Declan Taylor was a great guest. Ivan Maisel was a great guest in college football. And obviously James Copeland from Fantasy Footy Mag. He was great to talk some fantasy football. Hope you guys got your picks in. Make sure you join our league on PremierLeague.com. Code is 111-821-29474. And make sure you leave us reviews, positive, negatives, on iTunes, Spotify, and Audioboom. That's where you can find our podcast. We love hearing from you guys. So make sure you get in touch with us, and we can't wait to see you again on the next episode. Rachel, thanks a lot for your help on this one. Great to speak to you all the way from Bournemouth. I know you're in London, so hopefully we can meet up and be in the same studio for the next episode.
I'm going to be coming to Bournemouth Asmir in the near future. And yeah, it's been a great show. Thank you.
Perfect. Well, thanks again to all our listeners, and we can't wait to see you on the next show.